Well, this morning, I'm inviting you to go on a journey with me. And no, we're not getting up out of this place and walking to another location, but we're going to take a mental journey in search of peace. But before we go, we need to make sure that we know that the prophet Isaiah, in the scripture that I just read, said that peace will be coming. And he even gave us an example of what that peace may look like in verses 6 through 9. Now, I'm sure you have read those verses before. If you haven't read them, you've certainly heard them. And you probably have caught on that Isaiah is using reversals. Reversals. For example, wolves don't lie down with lambs, they eat them. Leopards, lions, and bears look at calves, cows, and goats as one fantastic, delicious, stomach-filling supper. My grandchildren are going to play with cobras? I don't think so, but that's what Isaiah is saying. And the prophet said that in the kingdom that's coming, there's going to be perfect tranquility, and those reversals will actually be commonplace. And all that's going to happen when the knowledge of the Lord fills the whole earth. So, a reminder, right now we're in between kingdoms. We're not exactly where Isaiah is talking that we're going to be, but we live in the kingdom that Jesus ushered in on the earth. And through his birth that we're celebrating right now, and his ministry, and ultimately his death and his resurrection, we get a glimpse of how we're supposed to live in the present time. You know, the lighting of the Advent candle is very symbolic. You may look at it and think, well, they drag that out every year, and every year they light the candles, and it's just something we do to make the sanctuary more beautiful. But no, it's highly symbolic. And those candles are representing some of the qualities that we need to carry with us as we move throughout our lives. And tonight, we're going to light the Christ candle. And so we have Christ in the center of our life, and we have these attributes that we're supposed to be living out. And so Ron and Virginia just lit the fourth one, the candle of peace. And so that is our focus for today. So, hey, let's go. Let's look for some peace. Everybody wants it, and nobody knows exactly how to find it. So I thought we would start our journey right here in Houston, Texas, the home to 2.4 million people. It's the fourth largest city in the United States, and it's one of the fastest growing cities. And not only that, as you know, it's rich in many, many cultures, and there's over 90 languages spoken here. Now, I'm not a mathematician, but in 2014, the Houston Chronicle said that if an NFL draft were to be held to draft people living in Houston, it would take 24,660 years worth of picks before every man, woman, and child were assigned to a team. That's pretty darn big. 24,660 years, and our population has grown. And I wonder what that would be like now if you added in the growth. Well, we like things big in Texas, there's no doubt about it. But where can we find peace in such a large, sprawling city? How about the beautiful parks? We have all kinds of beautiful parks here in our city, or maybe on Buffalo Bayou, or the many lakes, and of course, just a short distance away is the Gulf of Mexico. So, oh my gosh, we have all these places we can go where we can find, hopefully, some peace. Well, there are sites and scenes and golf courses and historical places that we can go and maybe try to find a little bit of peace. Or maybe in the vast array of restaurants, theaters, and cultural centers. You name it, in this city, there are places where we can go to find peace. But there's only one problem. To get there, you have to maneuver your way through what? Traffic, yes. To get any of these places, you have to maneuver your way through the Houston traffic. You have to go on the streets and drive, and there will be street racers on I-45, I-69, and I-10, and zillions, I don't even know how to count, all the 18-wheelers that whiz by me all the time carrying goods in every direction. One of the largest complaints I hear about the city of Houston is the traffic congestion and the crazy drivers. Now, if you think of it as it is moving, drivers actually stop and shout obscenities to each other, and there have been incidents of physical harm and even death over road rage. It's rampant. And people often arrive at their place of employment red-faced, trying to get rid of the stress that they had just getting to work. And actually, I have ridden in cars with some of my friends, not you, and the things that they say make my face turn red. I can't even say them here in this church. But not only do we battle traffic, we battle crime. Our police chief told us about that. My husband tells me every single time I go out, keep your head on the swivel, Anne. He warns me of people who will take my purse while pumping gasoline, of parking lot thieves who look for innocent victims, particularly women, and of men who may knock on my door with evil intent, trying to sell things. One of my sons named Tommy is a former law officer, and he called me and he said, Mom, Thursday in Katy, in 30 minutes, there were three robberies near my house. In 30 minutes, there were three robberies. Well, Max continues, don't open the door unless you know who it is. Turn on the alarm before you leave the house. Make sure you don't answer a call on your cell phone that acts suspicious. And please check to make sure your Facebook is not hacked. Where is my peace in this great city? I mean, I often get stressed just thinking about all this stuff. Okay. Well, let's enlarge our territory. Maybe we have some problem finding peace right here in this big city. We may find it temporarily, but let's move out to the United States, the 50 states that make up our country. So I decided to watch the news every day for a week to find out where I could go in the United States of America to find some peace. And you know, there are literally thousands of places. It's such a land of opportunity. And there's places where we can find tranquility more than we can even imagine. There are lakes and rivers and oceans and canyons and vacation places and resort areas in the mountain, resort areas on the shore, hideaways, getaways, B&Bs, and you name it. We probably can escape and find some peace for a little while. I don't think watching the news was really a very good decision. According to the news sources I watch, from coast to coast. There is political division, hatred, malice, anger, frustration, murder, child and elder abuse, animal abuse, theft, addictions, and even more. I mean, when I watch the news about my country, it just stressed me out. Another son called me, and I don't know what in the world he was thinking, but he goes, "You know, Mom, when I retire," and he's young, "I want to buy land in West Virginia. I've heard it's cheap. I want to go back there." But he goes, "The economy's terrible, and half the population are on opioids." But he thinks he can go back there to the vacation times of his childhood and find peace by living simply. He's trying to find peace, and he's very young. Well, the news agencies affirmed everything I said, and there are so many drugs to help us with escapism. I'm not talking about things that we have to take medicine for. But they reported that people in the United States right now are struggling with neuroses and psychoses, and people are having a hard time trying to find any peace within. We have fears from A to Z, agoraphobia to something Z phobia. And there's guilt and regret among the people, and they are just looking for ways to fill the void. I had stopped watching the news. I figured out, there may be some places in my country I could go to find some peace, but maybe I need to enlarge my territory again. So I decided to get out a map of the world and look at the world. Maybe I could find some peace in some of the places I've traveled. I mean, you know, I was there like a week or so, and Greece, it felt wonderful and peaceful. So first of all, I looked at Haiti. You're probably going to think I'm crazy, but parts of the island are beautiful. The government is totally corrupt. The people starve. The leaders of the country get rich. They get fat in their body and fat in their pockets. Nah, forget the island. Then I looked at the continent of Africa, and I thought, whoa, do I love Egypt? So let me think if I could go live in Egypt. Well, ever since the airliner was shot down in the Sinai Desert, people are super cautious about going to Africa and to Egypt. And cruise barges are piled up 3 deep on the Nile, just waiting for people to come. They also have internal conflict over there. One time we went out, we were totally under guard with Uzis taking us to a site. Well, I looked at South America. Surely in South America there's something. I looked at Bogota, Colombia, where I went with the youth group. But you know what they do over there? They kidnap people. They kidnap your children. People march down the streets with drums like a parade, and they're holding their children's picture by a poster, and they're begging the government to try to help find their children. It is so sad. I look throughout Europe. They have a lot of problems like we do, and they have very low economies. We looked at Greece and the economy there, and the unemployment is terrible. So I figured out maybe we could go to Switzerland, go up on top one of the mountains over Lake Lucerne, and we would have peace. The only problem is the cost of living over there is off the chart, and we would only make it a week or so before we would have to figure out where we're gonna go to get the money to live there. Oh my goodness, what do you do? Well, I think you come right back where we started today, at First Methodist Houston with the prophet Isaiah. You know, he gave us a clue in the scripture. He mentioned that a shoot is going to come up from Jesse. He also said that the Spirit of the Lord was going to rest on this person, and that he would be full of wisdom and understanding and power, and that he would take care of the needy and all these problems, and with the rod of his mouth and with the breath of his lips, he would slay all of the wicked. Isaiah even went as far as saying, this person is going to be called the Prince of Peace. Well, you know what? The shoot that did come up from Jesse was Jesus. And in him, that's where we are going to find perfect peace. When we have that peace, we can maneuver the Houston traffic. And we can exist in our country and in the world because the Prince of Peace is with us, guiding us, helping us make those decisions that will give us peace. The world really is messed up right now, but Jesus is putting it back together, one person at a time. A father was sitting watching television, and his little son came up and said, "Dad, would you play with me?" The father loved playing with his little boy, and he said, "Yes, I will play with you tonight, but for the moment, I need some peace. I need to watch just the last part of this TV show. You come back when it finishes and we'll play." 5 minutes later, the little boy came back and said, "Daddy, will you play with me now?" "Soon, son, soon, when the program finishes." 2 minutes later, the little boy comes back. They have no sense of time. "Daddy, is it time to play yet?" Oh, the father realizes he's not going to get any peace, and he decides to give the son a task to do while he's watching television. He happened to have a newspaper, and he looked at the newspaper, and there was a big picture of the world on it. And he ripped it out, and then he took the picture, and he tore it into all kinds of little bitty pieces. And he said, "Son, I've got a game for you. I want you to go away for a little while, and I want you to put this world back together again, and then come back and we'll play." Little boy walks off with all those pieces, and in 5 minutes he was back. "Daddy, can we play now?" The dad was stunned to look at the world. It had been put back together perfectly with scotch tape, and he thought, "I've got a child prodigy on my hands. What am I going to do?" He said, "How did you do that? It would have taken me 20 minutes. The little boy said, "Oh, Daddy, that was easy. On the back of the world was a picture of a person, and I put the person back together, and that's when the world came together. I put the person back together, and that's when the world came back together." Jesus, the Prince of Peace, wants to put all of us back together, and he's working in one heart at a time, filling all of the voids that are in there so that we can go out and share the peace we have with others. When we do that, a little bit of heaven comes on earth. But you're probably saying, how can I get that perfect peace? How can I get it to where I can go every single day and have that peace and face anything? Well, there are two ways. There is the way of the world, and then there's God's way. A man got an email, and it came from what would be a seemingly pretty wise person. And it said, "The way to achieve inner peace is to finish all of the things you have ever started." Well, that makes sense. Finish all the thing. I want to show that one to my husband. So the reader of the email looked around his house to look at all the things that he hadn't finished. He reported that before he left that morning to go to work, he finished off a bottle of red wine, a bottle of white wine, The rest of his Prozac, some Valium, some cheesecake, and a box of chocolates. He said, "You have no idea how good I feel." Well, that's one of the ways to attain peace, isn't it? However, do you think the man's peace lasted? The next day was not a good day. The ways to find peace in the world are numerous, but they're not lasting. So, listen to this. The biblical concept of peace is broad. The word for peace is, do you know what the word for peace actually is from the Old Testament? Shalom. And it refers to the relationship between God and people and nations and men. It means to be complete, to be sound, to be renewed by a peace offering. In other words, whenever they wanted to have peace in their hearts and they asked the Lord for it, they renewed it every single year. God alone is the source of peace. And in Judges 6, Gideon builds an altar to the Lord and he called it Yahweh Shalom. The Lord is peace. So, it also says that all of this would be mediated through a Messiah, Old and New Testament. So our peace really does come from Jesus. In other words, while we're on earth, we can have peace. It's obtainable. You don't need stimulants and pills and travel and money or anything else. You can have it now. I think all of us have searched for peace one time or another. I know that I have. But you have to remember, it is a gift from God, and it exists within a soul, and it exists in the soul that is right with God, with the person that has a relationship with God. It is not for the wicked. It is not for the wicked. So the way to get it is to ask for it. You get right with God, you put yourself back together, you study His Word and you meditate on it, and then you go out in the world to face anything you need to face because you have the peace of the Lord in your heart. You know, it's just like that fourth Advent candle that Ron lit. It's glowing. And when you have the peace of the Lord inside of you, you glow. People know it. You are different. Look at Burl downstairs, who's below us right now, probably holding church with I don't know how many people. But the peace of the Lord is all over her. You can see it. You can feel it. And once you have it, amazing things can happen. Amazing things like this. You can invite conflict into your life. Wait a minute. I have peace and I can invite conflict into my life. Yes. Did you hear all those terrible things I mentioned today? Well, you can invite conflict into your life and you can fight the evil that Satan has and he's working in the world. You can invite it in because you have absolute peace and you're willing to fight. Well, we fight wherever we're sent. And we help make the kingdom come on earth, the one the Isaiah talked about. Right now, on the road, coming back from Eagle Pass, is a group of, 30 of our members and their families. They go every year. They go down to the border where there are gangs, violence, drug, and poverty everywhere. I know I've been there. When I was there, a grandmother was trying to sell her grandson for body parts. It's a strange place. Now, you might wonder, why in the world did they go down there? Well, they have the peace of Christ in their hearts, and they invited some conflict to come into their lives. I received a text from Laura Aldous yesterday, and I said, how do you feel being in such a poor and dangerous place this Christmas time? Here's her response. The peace of Christ doesn't necessarily consider danger or evil. I came here because I trust Kristen and God not to put me and my family in peril. I came here because at the end of the day, we are safest when we are in God's will. And we must show joy, love, hope, and peace and compassion to other people. We have seen Christ delivering food to people who take coals from a fire outside, put it in a Dutch oven, and that becomes their heat for their home for the winter. They are so happy that we're there that they give us a part of their food, their tamales. She said, I see peace happen when I build relationships with people who are vastly different, but amazingly similar to me. You can invite conflict in when the news is not good about health or when the things of the world are raging. You can be at peace. Well, this Sunday is the Sunday that we talk about peace. And maybe you're ready to have it in your heart. And if you do, maybe you're willing just to fill it back up again. Maybe you just want to do what they did in the Old Testament and renew it. Renew your covenant with the Lord. You see, it's a blessing that He wants to give you. And all you need to do is just ask Him. You don't have to travel anywhere to get the peace, because it's right here. Jesus is right here in this very room, just waiting for you to ask. It's my prayer that you ask today for the shalom to come into your heart so you can face anything that the world brings you. Would you pray with me, please? Dear God, we thank you for your shalom peace that only you can give. You continually pour out your blessings in our lives, and one of the blessings you give us is your peace. And when we have it, we can do anything. We can even help put the world back together again. So, Father, be with us today. Touch every single heart and mind in this room, and let us leave here today with great peace in our hearts. And we are so grateful for Jesus who is being born, and we are celebrating that. And we remember the prayer He taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive us trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.